please, in the Gospel of Christ according to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied round his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day and 7 times comes back to you and says, 'I repent,' forgive him." The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now and sit down to eat'? Would he not rather say, 'Prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink.' Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Amen. This is the word of God.
I'd like to look for our time this morning at Luke chapter 17. And as we celebrate the anniversary of the church here, this story of the healing of the 10 lepers, Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19, seems a very relevant and challenging passage for us to look at. It's a story that tells us of the widespread blessings that Jesus Christ brought with him into the world. On that one single day, no less than 10 lepers were healed. Leprosy, yes, it's true. If you've got a Bible with footnotes, it may say something to the effect that the word that's translated leprosy, we're not quite sure exactly what disease it was. It was used in the Bible to cover a number of skin diseases, of fungal infections, and so on. But leprosy, as we know it today, that terrible, disfiguring, and destructive disease, that leprosy was known in the time of Jesus. And whatever the precise form of the disease that these men had, leprosy totally ruined people's lives. It caused them to be excluded from the community. It was a curse. And Jesus Christ healed 10 lepers that day. It was a wonderful demonstration of his goodness, of his love, of the way that he came to shower his blessings on men and women around him. And there's much cause for thankfulness in that, in the healing of these 10 lepers. And today, as you celebrate the church anniversary here, you, I know, have got many things to celebrate, Jesus Christ has been good to you. And as someone who's watched with great interest, it's good to be here and to thank God for all that's happened in and through this congregation over, well, more than the last 22 years. What God has done here has been a great encouragement to so many of us, not only in the Free Church, but a much wider too. How good to see in God's mercy and God's provision the growing size of your building, the growing numbers in the congregation, the growing number of contacts and involvements that you have in the community. These are great things. We thank God for the worship here. How lovely to hear you singing and praising God so tunefully, so movingly. It's good to be here and to be stirred by that. Thank God for every time you've come here and enjoyed the worship of God. And I know too that you've been taught well. It's a great blessing, Paul says in Romans chapter 3, that the Jews had, even those who didn't become believers, they had a great benefit that the word of God was committed to them. To be taught well and to be able to bring your children to be taught well in the truths of Jesus, in God's rules for living well in this world. That's a wonderful blessing. To find friends and enjoy the fellowship and the friendship such as we enjoyed last night over the anniversary supper. To find comfort in times of trouble. Friendship in times of loneliness and bereavement. That's a great blessing. Isn't God good? You know, we live in a world of lonely people. One of the things that perhaps shocks us, although we've heard it so many times now, how many lonely people there are, especially in the cities of our land. How many people in London who never talk to anybody else from one week's end to another? People whose only companionship is the television or the radio, the loneliness of the city. And you've got an extended family here. You've got a friendship circle. You've got a community. And that's a great gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. And something else, I could go on and on, but something else that strikes me, seeing you all last night in action and knowing a little bit of the things that go on, the different teams who are running lunches for the old people, as was announced earlier, you've got opportunities to serve. That's a great blessing. Opportunities to do something. Not only to have people who minister to you, who care for you and show friendship to you, but having people that you can do something for. That's a great blessing from God. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And being in a church like this, you've been given, all of you, opportunities to be involved in that way. And then the church here has had a wider influence. I go, you know, David said I live in that remote corner of the country that's called London. You may not have heard it, but there are much more important places like Accletybuie, where on my holidays in Scotland I hear, oh yes, Smithton has been a great blessing to us. We use the DVDs of the service. And then you've sent out people from here. I was over this time last year preaching in Carloway in the Isle of Lewis, and Kenny MacLeod, who was, I think, an elder here in the church, now gone out, gone into ministry. So many blessings have come to and through this congregation. And we thank God for them. They're wonderful. They're great. Just like those 10 lepers being healed of that terrible disease. 10 families touched by that healing of Jesus. And yet, this isn't a story just about the healing of the 10 lepers. Let's not devalue that. Let's not neglect that. A great act, a multiple act of kindness and goodness and love by our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's a story with a sting. It's not just a story of the healing of the 10 lepers. It's a story of the 9 and the 1. The 1 leper who came back. It's a story like so many of the stories in the New Testament, which make a division. You know, the house built on the rock and the house on the sand. The Good Samaritan, the ones who passed by on the other side and the one who stopped. And all of those stories are implicitly nudging us and saying, which one are you in? Which group are you in? And this story obviously comes to us and says, okay, a great kindness, a great blessing to this whole bunch of men. But there's a division there. And the challenge to us is, are we in the 1 or are we in the 9? The 9 came, they obeyed, they were respectful of Jesus, we're told they came. They stood at a distance. And they called out, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. They're respectful, they're praying, they're there in the presence of Jesus. He says, go show yourselves to the priest. That was the commanded ritual in the Old Testament. If somebody recovered from leprosy, they had to go, and the priest's job, the priest lived all around the country in different villages and towns, find your local priest. He will certify that you are now clear of this disease which bars you from being involved in society. With the priest's certificate, you can be back with your family, back in the synagogue, back in the community. And they did all that. And yet, there was something that the 9 missed out on, that the 1 received. And that's what I want us to look at today. We thank God for all of us, for all of you that are gathered here. We thank God for all those, if you like, those wonderful general mercies and goodnesses and gifts that he's given you through the church. But my desire today is that you should understand what was different about the 1, and that you and all of us should be grouped with him and not just with the others. Let me put it like this. There's 3 things that you need to do in order to be like the 1 and to be more than 1 of the 9. You need, first of all, to recognize that you have 2 problems, not just 1. The 9, well, all of these people, all of the 10, had a problem, a tremendous problem. They were lepers. As I've said, it was a horrible, terrible, life-ruining disease, whatever particular form it had. But in effect, in this story, scratching below the surface, number 10 realized that there was something else he needed. They all knew that their leprosy needed to be dealt with, if it possibly could. They needed help with their leprosy. They had a real problem. But number 10 recognized that he had 2 problems. He recognized and felt an irresistible urge to go back to Jesus. Jesus hadn't told them to come back. Jesus had told them to go to the priests. And the others had just done what Jesus told him. But something in this man was bugging him. Something made him say, well, yeah, Jesus has told me to go to the priests, and I need to go to the priests. I'm not sure what the ritual was among the Samaritans, but it was probably similar because the Samaritans accepted the first 5 books of the Bible where all the rules were spelt out. But despite that, something inside him drove him and moved him to go back. There was an urge there that could only be satisfied by returning to Jesus. He needed to get close to Jesus, to thank him and to worship him. And we read that difference there in the story when this one man, he came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He fell down, and that throwing himself at Jesus' feet, well, for one thing, he was coming right up to Jesus. Earlier, the 10 had stood at a distance and called out. This man gets right close. You can't get closer than being at Jesus' feet. But throwing himself at Jesus' feet was a very definite action in the Jewish world. It was an action of worship, of adoration. He was bowing, he was prostrating himself. He was worshiping Jesus. And he thanked Jesus. Now you might say, well, that's not much of a problem. You said, second problem, he felt this urge to go to Jesus. But actually that was a symptom. That was something that I said, something was bugging him. Long ago, in a very famous quotation, a man called Augustine of Hippo, one of the early teachers and preachers of Christianity, said in a prayer, Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. This Samaritan, that restlessness was stirred up in him, was awakened by Jesus' act of healing his first problem, his leprosy. This may not be immediately obvious, but it's absolutely vital. You see, everybody's aware of their first problem or set of problems. We may be desperately lonely and we want company. We may be really frustrated because we feel we've got gifts that we can use in serving others and we've got no opportunity to do that. It may be illness that we have, or it may be some awful problem within our family, somebody we love who's desperately ill, and we want people to help them, we want people to pray for them, we want them to get better. The first problem is obvious. But again and again in the Gospels, when Jesus met with people, in effect, he says to them, just a minute. You've brought your first problem to me, but you need to see that there is a second problem, a less obvious problem, but a much deeper problem. For instance, Jesus one day was confronted by a man who brought his little boy to Jesus. The boy was demonized, oppressed in some mysterious way by an evil spirit. And the symptoms of that, to us, read very like a severe case of epilepsy. The demon would seize him, he would foam at the mouth, he would roll around, fall into the fire, fall into water and be nearly drowned. Terrible condition. And Jesus is full of compassion to this father. Is it where he puts his arm around him and he says, you poor man, how long has he been like this? How long have you had to put up with this terrible anguish in your fatherly heart? And the man says, oh Lord, ever since he was a child, it's been terrible, it's been awful. If you can do anything, please help us. And at that point, Jesus does something very startling. He rebukes the man for a lack of faith. He says, what do you mean, if I can? All things are possible to him who believes. And you see, Jesus is saying to that man, just a minute. What you've just said reveals that you've got another problem in your life. You've got a terribly sick and oppressed boy. I know that. I'm deeply concerned for that. But there's a second problem. You do not believe in me. In effect, Jesus said to him, you've just come to me and said, if you can do anything. long before that, in Mark's gospel, we're told of another leper, actually, who came to Jesus and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Do you see the difference between those two statements? The leper, the first leper said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can." The father of the epileptic boy says, "Lord, if you can do anything, please help us." And Jesus says, "We need to deal. You don't know me. If you knew me better, if you believed in me, you would say, 'Jesus, you can help us. Please help us.' You do not have the faith." And the man recognizes that. And that second problem is dealt with. The man cries out, "Lord, I do believe. Please help my unbelief." He's conscious that the need to have faith is his deepest problem. He's conscious that it's not easily solved, but he addresses that. And then Jesus heals the boy. And there are other cases too, where Jesus deals not just with the first obvious problem, but with the underlying problem. If you're going to be like the number 10 leper, you need to recognize that you have two problems. Yeah, it may be that some of you have got terribly pressing problems, like that father had that day, like those lepers had that day. But do you know the old Shorter Catechism that perhaps some of you learned as children? It says from its very first question, what is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And if we're not glorifying God and enjoying God, then the main reason for which we exist is not being dealt with. There's another old catechism that may be less familiar to you, that our Dutch friends and many other churches use it, called the Heidelberg Catechism. It begins with this question: what is your only comfort in life and in death? Well, it's a strange question, because you think, well, we have lots of things that comfort us. We've got our grandchildren, we've got our friends, we've got this and that. But ultimately, says the catechism, ultimately, if you get down to the real root, the real heart of things, what is the one thing that will always give you comfort? What is the one thing that if you haven't got, nothing else will ultimately comfort you? And the answer is that I'm not my own, but belong body and soul unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. This man came back to Jesus because perhaps instinctively he felt, perhaps subconsciously, he realized that he needed not just to be healed of his leprosy, but to know Jesus Christ. There's all the difference in the world, says Tim Keller in one of his sermons, between being a superstitious person who gets a bodily healing. "Lord, I got a real problem. You've got to help me. I've got this problem. Please, please take away this illness. Please deal with me." And you try praying for that. There's all the difference in the world between just being like that and somebody being somebody who has a life transformed so that they become a follower of Jesus for all eternity. We need not just to have our problems, our first problems dealt with, we need our root problem, our second problem. So there's the first challenge. Have you recognized that you have two problems, not just one? Medically they talk, don't they, sometimes of the presenting problem. Somebody goes to the doctor and said, "Oh, doctor, I've got this real pain in my ear, or I've got this sore shoulder." But the doctor may say, "Well, that's the presenting problem. Actually, there may be a much deeper problem." And so the doctors do the tests and so on. Well, That's really the lesson here. This number 10 was the one out of all the 10 who moved on from his presenting problem to his ultimate problem. Then secondly, very quickly, not only do you need to recognize that you've got two problems, not just one, you need to admit that you cannot cure yourself. This man comes to Jesus and just casts himself down before Jesus as a worshipper, as a thankful worshipper. He doesn't come to Jesus and say, Lord, I really appreciate you healing me from my leprosy. Now, I'd like to do something for you. I'd like to help you in your ministry. I think I could contribute something that would strengthen your group of disciples. Looking around them, they're a pretty motley bunch. I think I could add some qualities. My gifts profile, my experience, my CV is pretty impressive. Let me contribute something in return for what you've done. None of that at all. He comes and falls down. He is prostrate before Jesus. He doesn't come and say, Lord, help me now that you've dealt with my leprosy. Help me to be a little bit better than I was. He recognizes by his very posture that he cannot cure himself. He is totally dependent. He falls at the feet of Jesus Christ. Do you remember Jesus himself told the story of a Pharisee who went up to the temple to pray? Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men, especially like him. I do this, I do that. And in contrast, Jesus said, the publican, the tax collector, the outcast of society, the hated, despised man, he goes and he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what number 10 is doing here. It's very hard to accept, admit that we cannot save ourselves. You know, it's this self-righteousness, this idea that we can contribute something. It's sort of the ground elder of the spiritual life, if you're gardeners, the Japanese knotweed. However much you cut it down, it's almost impossible to get rid of its roots. I remember one of the congregations I served in, there was a lovely Christian lady who was a member, and she died. Her husband was not a member of the church. And I went to visit him after his wife had died, and we talked about his wife, and what a lovely believer she is, and she had been, and what a lovely example she had. And I turned to her husband and said, and John, what about you? What about you? Where do you stand? Oh, you don't need to talk to me, he said. I know all of that. I've been in the Free Church all my life. I know that God keeps a record of all the bad things we do and all the good things that we do. And at the last day, so long as there's more good things than bad things, we'll be all right. Now, let me ask you, how many Free Church ministers have you ever heard preaching that message? He'd been brought up in the church. I happen to know that he'd been brought up by an aunt who was one of the most godly and spiritually minded Christians that people remembered in that congregation. And he'd heard the gospel week after week after week. And yet it had all been filtered in his mind. It had all been twisted. Whatever had been said, what he'd been hearing was, be good, keep the rules, and yeah, nobody's perfect, but so long as you've got more pluses than minuses, you'll be all right. Probably that's why number 10 was a Samaritan rather than a Jew. The Jews, with all their background, with all their laws, with all the sense that their religion was the true one and the right one, they were so prone to be self-righteous. We're not like those people you read about in the Daily Mail and all those terrible things they do. We're Free Church. We're not like those wicked people who do this or that or the other. Not like those Muslim terrorists. Not like those paedophiles. Not like those rioters in London. Not even like those greedy investment bankers. We're free church. We're all right, aren't we? We need to admit that we cannot earn our own salvation. Ralph Erskine, one of the great heroes of the Scottish church in the past, once watched a man being taken to be hung. And he said, not the sort of traditional saying, there but for the grace of God go I. He was much more specific. And he said to the person he was with, but for the grace of God, this sinful heart would have brought me to the same position as that man. Now that's biblical, gospel theology. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Did you know, let's put it bluntly, as George Whitefield put it bluntly in one of his sermons 200 years ago, that God could damn us just for the service that we've held this morning? If God's judgment day suddenly came and we appeared before God, we would not have a leg to stand on if the only thing that God considered was the way we've worshipped this morning. Our prayers, we wander, our thoughts wander in prayers. Our desires, the things that really matter to us, they're so selfish. Yes, we confess our sins and we repent, but old George Whitefield said, my repentance needs to be repented of. All our righteousnesses, our filthy rags, never mind the bad things that we've done. We cannot save ourselves. We have no other option but to fall at the feet of Jesus and ask for mercy. A rather posh lady went to the photographers many years ago and sat for her portrait to be taken. And she said to the photographer, young man, I hope you've done me justice. And he looked at her and he said, madam, it's not justice you need, it's mercy. Now, that stuck in my mind, and maybe it'll stick in yours. And if you feel that when you look at your photograph, how much more when you stand before Jesus Christ in all his glory. It's not justice you're asking for. It's mercy. We need to admit that we cannot save ourselves. And we need to come to Jesus, to worship. Actually, Jesus claims, I think in this passage, there's a claim to be God. Jesus said, verse 18, was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Jesus loved to tease people. Do you remember when the rich young ruler came to him and said, good master, what must I do to have eternal life? Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one is good except God. And hanging somewhere in there, just in the air, is, are you saying that I am God? And Jesus says, you know, the 10 could give thanks to God as they walked along the road. They could give thanks to God in the temple. But Jesus says, why has only one returned to give thanks to God when the leper thanked him? Do you embrace Jesus as God, as the mighty Savior, as the one who himself saves us by becoming a leper for us? Jesus became an outcast. Jesus carried our sins in his own body to the cross. Jesus was disfigured by sin more than anyone was ever disfigured in his agony in Gethsemane. Do we come to Jesus as God made man? Do we come to Jesus as the Savior who has taken away all our sins? So that when you do look honestly into that mirror of your own conscience and you face up to all the inadequacies and all the sins of your life, you take the next step and you say, and isn't it terrible and isn't it wonderful that God treated Jesus as if he had done and been all those things that make me so ashamed of what I am and what I have done. Jesus has taken away my sin. And do we come to Jesus as a living Saviour? He's risen from the dead. He is here today. We can talk to him. We can live with him. We'll be looking a bit more at this evening. But that's what happened to this number 10 leper. That's what made him different. His leprosy was healed. So was the leprosy of the nine. But the healed body of those lepers, all 10 of them, would eventually grow old and eventually succumbed to some disease or other, or just to the outwearing of old age. And their bodies were laid in the grave, were laid in the ground of Palestine and merged into the dust. But leper number 10 found something that day, which means that today he is worshipping Jesus in the presence of God. His body at death was laid in the grave, but his soul was united with Christ, was with Christ, and is Christ. And when Christ returns, number 10 leper, the Samaritan leper, will be there with him. My friends, thank God for Smithton Church. Thank God for all those things I listed at the beginning, and many others that I'm sure you're aware of and that I'm not aware of. But oh, what will those things be in eternity if you do not have the blessing that this 10th leper received? What will all those other things, what will the suppers and the friends and the opportunity, what will they be if you have not found Jesus Christ? If you have not recognized that deep second problem, which is in all of us, that we are restless and we are rebels and we are dying, we are dead, unless we come to Jesus Christ, unless we despair of ourselves and cling to Jesus, all the other blessings will be but passing things. But if here in this church today you come to Jesus Christ, then all those other blessings will be like jewels in the crown. They will be the wonderful wrapping paper, the wonderful symptoms of something which is far, far greater. A life that will last forever. A fellowship that will be infinitely greater and totally perfect and will totally overshadow even the wonderful things you enjoy in this church, in this place, at this time. And my friends, as we thank God for your church's anniversary, why not make today your birthday, your spiritual birthday? Why not come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I've got a second problem. Lord, I can't deal with it. But if you are willing, and I believe you are willing, you can make me clean within. You can save. And if you want any other prayer to pray, why not borrow that Father's prayer? Lord, today, I do believe. Lord, help my unbelief. And may there be thanksgiving in Smithton and in heaven for many, many years to come. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ welcomes lepers and heals them. We do thank you for all the good things, the good earthly things that we've enjoyed in and through this church. But we pray for ourselves as individuals. We pray for one another. We long, Lord, that all of us may know that wonderful, new, transforming, everlasting relationship with Jesus Christ. May we know the forgiveness of sins. May we know the life everlasting. And may all the glory be yours. Amen.